Do you want to prepare for God's calling on your life to ministry? Many people have a sense that God is calling them to ministry, but they don't know the next step to take. Here's a step that may be for you. Wesley Biblical Seminary offers a new Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry that's entirely online, and it will prepare you for whatever ministry God calls you to next. We want to equip you with knowledge and tools you need to confidently fulfill the calling that God has put on your life. Learn more at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Hope you're having a great Thursday morning. Pastor Jeff here. And today on the program, we're going to talk about this subject. Actually, a question. What is a parent to do? And we're going to focus on the challenge of raising godly children, because every parent knows that it is a challenge. Now, Colossians chapter 3, the scripture says this, "Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." And then this verse, Colossians 3:21, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart." And as the scripture says in the book of Proverbs, we're to train up our children in the way that they should go, and even when they're old, they will not depart from it. Now, at First Baptist Texarkana, Thursdays are big days for us. We start off with Thursday morning, 6:15 in the morning. We have a group called Strong Foundations, and it's for young husbands and young dads, developing great husbands and great dads. It's for guys that are really in the thick of it with raising kids and little kids, and even middle schoolers or high schools. But you have kids under your roof, and you're raising them, and it is a challenge. So we've started this group to help these guys and encourage these guys and come alongside them to say, hey, you're the designated leader. We want you to do well, and we want to be here for you. And then Thursday at lunch, we have Man Up just for every age, and have a lot of older guys that come to that. I say older guys that are empty nesters, and it's open for everybody, but we talk about a lot of subjects in there. And so Chris Schroeder, our teaching pastor at First Baptist Texarkana, he spoke today to the younger guys, challenging our children and talking about being a good dad, a good parent, and understanding our kids and really training them up in the way that they should go. And so we want to talk about that today. And Dr. Chris, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you're very welcome. And so you have the unique experience having three kids.
Yeah.
You have an older daughter,
yes,
who is grown and gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have two little girls,
yes,
who are in their, you know, grade school years. And so you see what it's like to parent an older child and then to parent a younger child. And it is way different, isn't it?
It is a lot different. I would say more challenging. The adult child is more challenging, at least mentally, emotionally,
mm-hmm,
because they are making their own decisions and you're watching them make their own decisions. And, you know, the little one, it's like, tell them what to do and they pretty much do it.
Yeah.
But with the older one, they're making their own decisions. And so, and it's also very rewarding to watch your adult children when they make good decisions,
right,
make good choices.
Yeah. And, you know, I think you and I have talked about this before. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that your kids are going to turn out right.
Right.
Samuel was God's prophet in Israel, and he had two sons that they said in 1 Samuel chapter 12, your sons are worthless, you know, give us a king because you're the last judge and your sons can't do it. And it's always struck me that Samuel was a godly guy, but he didn't have godly kids. And so I think I heard James Dobson say this one time. He said, there are no guarantees on kids.
No, and I hear a lot of older parents, you know, parents with older children, just full of shame, full of guilt, because just scratching their heads, wondering what they did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I used to tell young adults, I used to say the phrase, you may have said this phrase before, I could tell that you were raised right, mm-hmm. you know, and I stopped saying that because that actually is kind of a sting for parents of adult children who, you know, really they thought they did the best they could. They thought they did a lot of things right, maybe raised their child in the church. But ultimately, each individual has autonomy. They have their own free will to choose who they're going to serve and how they're going to, you know, how they're going to live their life.
Right.
And so, no, there's no guarantee. And you read the proverb. It's a proverb. It's not a promise. You know, it's from Solomon. It's a very wise scripture. It's a very wise book, Proverbs. But it's not a promise from God. There is no guarantees.
Right. Yeah, so you can do everything right and your kid still has to choose for himself or herself, but we want to do things right. And mm-hmm. so we want to give them every opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, it's we don't want our kids to grow up in a bad home.
We want to work the percentages. I mean, if we do the right things, it's not a guarantee, it's not a promise, but it is a probable.
Right.
You know, and that scripture says when they are old.
Right.
So what does that mean? You know, it doesn't necessarily mean 21. It could be 80. You know, but if they're raised in the church, you've got that good foundation for them. They're raised in the ways of God, then they have that good foundation.
Well, you made a statement today with the guys, and you said, you know, we talk about the different things that are critical as we raise our kids, and you said, you know, accept their uniqueness. And you made the statement, our children are not clay to be molded, but human beings to be unfolded. Mm-hmm. So unpack that for us. What exactly does that mean?
I think that's one of the most enjoyable aspects of being a father is seeing how our children are created by God with such a unique personality to them. How God, you know, the nature-nurture thing, their nature is from God, like who they are, their temperament, the way they tackle things, the way they handle things, their personality. I mean, a lot of things they get from us as the parents, but some of it is just unique to them from God. And so it's our job as parents. You talk a lot about stewarding, uh-huh. not owning them, but stewarding their lives.
Right.
And so part of stewarding as a parent is unfolding who they are, discovering who they are, and helping them to discover who they are. And so instead of like pounding them into being this specific thing that you want them to be, but unfolding who God already created them to be.
Yeah. Well, with your two littlest ones, so yeah. Anna and Emma, mm-hmm. they're what, a year and a half, 2 years apart?
Yeah, they're 2 years apart. One's 8 and one's 10. And they are as different as could be. I mean, even looks, they really honestly don't even look that much alike.
Right.
But one's more melancholy. She feels her emotions deeply. She grieves things. She has those deep emotions. And she's more introverted. And then Emma, the younger one, is a sanguine. She's fun, extroverted. Everybody's a friend. Well, I'll take them to the park. And Anna, the melancholy one, will say, Emma, don't make a friend today. Just stay with me today. But sure enough, Emma will make a friend. And then Emma will be with a kid the whole time at the park. And they'll say, what was that girl's name? I don't know, but she's my friend.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a sanguine personality.
Yeah.
And so she's not like my wife or me. You know, she's yeah. unique to yeah. who God created her to be.
Yeah.
So that's fun to watch that. And how two kids from the same parents, same upbringing, can be so different.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, when you think about the four personality types that Tim LaHaye really made uh-huh. popular, the sanguine is the outgoing, friendly, never meet a stranger kind of person.
People-oriented more than task-oriented.
Yes, uh-huh. yes. And love a party and love fun. And they're fun to have as kids. They can frustrate the mess out of you, though, because fun kind of overrides responsibility
well,
if you're not careful.
They don't grind as well. They don't... They struggle with negativity. They struggle with negative things, you know,
right.
things that are hard because everything's positive, everything's fun, and life isn't that way.
No. So it's funny you're talking about how Emma does things with, you know, you're playing with that kid, what's her name? I don't know.
Yeah.
Sarah is like that, yeah. my youngest, and just such a sanguine. And I remember when she was about 5 years old, she was at a friend's house, and she called me, and she said, Dad, I'm at my best friend's house. I said, your best friend? Who's your best friend? She goes, Dad, you know my best friend. I said, well, what's her name? She goes, hold on, what's your name? That's hilarious. So I was like, well, that's your best friend, huh?
Yeah.
But it is true. Our kids are all different, and so we need to learn their differences and their uniquenesses, and then not just try and stick them in a mold. You know, it's like you're going to be forged this way, because you have to go with how God made them.
Uh-huh. And trying new things out, so new activities, different books to read, different hobbies to try, activities to try, sports to try, musical instruments to try, to see what takes, you right. know, for them, what sticks.
Right. So, you know, I think the tendency, Chris, for a lot of dads especially, if they're athletic,
yes.
they want their kids to be athletic.
Yeah.
And if you're pushing your kid into something they don't really like to do, they can be good at it, but they don't necessarily like it. I know you, a big tennis player, Andre Agassi, I don't think he liked tennis.
Uh-uh.
He was no. extremely good.
No. His book's outstanding. He talks about his life. I read it. It's called like Open, something like that. And his dad was terrible. I mean, the way that he just forced him to play from a very young age and really just kind of destroyed his life because that's what his dad wanted, not what he wanted.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a good point that you bring up, because as fathers, we want our kids to have some of the same interests, but you got to let them have their own interests. And then I think a good dad finds out what the kid is interested in and then takes part in that
right.
instead of forcing the kid to take their own interests.
Well, I was thinking of Todd Marinovich. He played yes. in the NFL.
RoboCop. Or yeah. robo quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think his dad just instilled that in him from the time he's like 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you're going to do. I don't know if necessarily he liked football.
Yeah. It burned him out and caused all kinds of problems in his life. And mm-hmm. even his diet, everything was just regimented like a robot, you know, yeah. to become a quarterback someday.
Yeah.
And he was good, but he never became a great quarterback.
No. And you're feeling the pressure of, I got to please dad. And so that's just not good. So we don't want to do that to our kids. We want to find out what they like to do and then encourage them in that. I think of Charles Mann, who played for the Washington Redskins defensive end for all those years. Three girls and a boy. Charles is super athletic, obviously. His three girls are athletic. He finally gets a boy. His boy doesn't care about sports at all.
Yeah.
He was
yeah.
into theater arts.
Right.
So Charles said, every Friday I went to the movies with my son because that's what he liked to do. And yes. I had to enter into his world, which is a hard thing to do for a lot of dads, moms too, but for a lot of dads especially.
Yeah, my youngest, Emma, she doesn't like any sports. She doesn't like to play sports. Gymnastics. She loves gymnastics. So I'm the one who takes her to gymnastics and watches gymnastics. Now, if that was my, you know, it's not enjoyable to me, but it's my daughter. And so that's something that I can connect with her on. But that's what she loves, not what I love, but it's what she loves.
Right. So that's the first thing with our children that you mentioned today, Chris, to our young dads, accept their uniqueness. And then secondly, you said you can affirm their values. So affirming values, what exactly do you mean by that?
Well, affirm their value, affirm who they are.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm sorry.
Who they are, just speaking positive, speaking life to them, speaking words of encouragement to
right.
them. I especially think this is important for fathers. Our words to our children are so important. And so, you know, as boys, we need to hear from our, we need that from our dads to hear, you've got what it takes. Mm-hmm. You are capable. You have good things inside of you. You have greatness, great potential. We need to hear that. And then girls need to hear, you're beautiful, not mm-hmm. just outside, but inside. You have beauty and you are valuable. And so those words are just so important to hear from parents, because if they don't hear that from their parents, they're looking, they have that need then, that hole in their heart. They're looking in other places and sometimes right. the wrong places to get that.
Right. Debbie would tell me, you know, girls want to hear not so much about their outer beauty, although that's important, but they want to hear about their character.
Yes.
You know, what do you love about me? What do you see in me that's special? You know, you're kind to other people. You're very thoughtful. You're very you know, serving and giving of yourself, things like that can build them up, because just outwardly, you can't control a lot of that.
Yes.
But you can control your character.
And you're teaching them what's important, what's the most important. And the most important is the inside, the heart, the character.
Right. I remember a quote from John Wooden. He said, you know, we never talked when he was coaching UCLA. We didn't talk about the outcome. We talked about the effort.
Yes.
Because you can't control necessarily the outcome in a game or in school. You know,
yes.
You got to get all A's. Well, you can't control that as much as you can control the effort.
Your effort.
Right. So, well, we're talking to Dr. Chris Schroeder, and we're talking about what is a parent to do, the challenge of raising godly children. And Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and this is the program Real Truth for Today. And let me just say, if you live anywhere near the Texarkana area, this Sunday we welcome Bishop E.W. Jackson. He's going to be preaching at 10:30 and then also at 6 p.m. this Sunday. You don't want to miss the bishop. He is a home run hitter. And he's going to have two great messages for us. So we'll be right back after the break. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We are talking to Dr. Chris Schroeder, the teaching pastor at First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And we're talking about parenting. What is a parent to do? The challenge of raising godly children. Now, the scripture tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 6, these words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You model Christianity in a loving relationship with the Lord. You model that before your kids. It's not just, hey, we have 7 o'clock, we're going to have Bible study time, kids, so shut up and listen. And no, it's they need to see Jesus real in your life, in your marriage, in your family. You need to have the attitude, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you do, as we said in the first segment, you need to accept their uniqueness. Your uh-huh. kids are all different. And you affirm their value. They have value before the Lord. They're special and precious to Him. And then, Chris, you mentioned to the guys this morning, trust them with responsibilities.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so we see greatness in them, and uh-huh. we call that out. And
yeah.
so we see the potential in them that maybe they don't even see in themselves. And so giving them responsibilities to do that, maybe, you know, setting the bar a little higher that's above their head that they have to reach for it and go for it. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great way to show that that they have value. And, you know, we think about those people that spoke life to us mm-hmm. and challenged us and gave us responsibilities, coaches and teachers and family members. And that's what we're trying to do with our children. Give them responsibilities that make them tougher and that that challenge them.
And now, Chris, how much of how you were raised affects how you raise your kids?
That's a great one. You're going to naturally go towards the way that you were raised. So your family of origin has huge importance because you're going to naturally bend in that direction. So, and I believe that every family, I don't like using the word like a dysfunctional family, because I think every family has dysfunction to some extent, because we're all fallen, we all have sin. And so it's like a spectrum. Every family is somewhere on the spectrum. But being aware, having a realistic view of your family, of where they fell short, what they did poorly and what they did well, and the things that they did poorly, you're going to always have to be bending the opposite direction and moving in the positive direction. And those things that were done well, you lean into that and follow that. So it really depends. Each one is different in how they were raised, but being honest about the way that you were raised and how your parents did, and then either going against that or leaning into that.
You know, one thing, Chris, I think is common for us as we get older, we can forget what it's like to be a kid, to be a teenager. And so then we parent and we're not thinking about how is my 8-year-old, my 10-year-old, my 14-year-old processing this?
Yeah.
And how do they, you know, the way I'm coming at them, what did I think about when my parents came at me that way? So in your, not to put you on the spot, but in your growing up years, what did your parents do that you said, that's good, I'm going to repeat that, versus what they did, you said, I'm going to do that differently?
I think I have, personally, I have kind of a nostalgic view. I kind of have an idealistic view. And so sometimes, honestly, I feel sad for my daughters, because I'm like, you know, 2024 and what's happening in our world and the chaos and the darkness. I mean, I'm a child of the 80s. You know, Ronald Reagan was my president that I remember. And the 80s are just so idyllic to me. Right. I know it wasn't necessarily that way. But in my mind, when I look back, I was just such a great childhood. Right. I just had such a good childhood. And our daughters are pretty protected. And for the most part, honestly, they're pretty sheltered. But I feel sad for them, that the things that they're going through that I didn't have to go through. Yeah. And so my biggest thing is I want to build toughness in them, strength in them, even though they're my daughters and they're so, you know, sweet and kind, but I want them to be strong, because I don't want them to be snowflakes, you know, because of the era that they're growing up in. You know, like Esther, for such a time as this, honestly, I think it's way more difficult than the era that I grew up in.
Okay, so with Brooklyn, your oldest, she's 21. Okay, and so then Anna's your next, and she's 10. So there's a big gap in there. And Brooklyn's growing up years were not quite as cohesive maybe as Anna and Emma, given the situation. So how did that affect her versus Anna and Emma?
We always joke, because Brooklyn was really well behaved. Like, she did so many things right. Like, she wasn't.
She's pretty phlegmatic.
She's very phlegmatic. Yeah, she was not challenging. She really went with the flow really well. And I had a lot more one-on-one time with her than I do with the other two, one-on-one. For now, the younger daughters, you know, the four of us are together all the time. But with Brooklyn, just me and her were together a lot. So we have a real strong connection, a strong bond. What I did poorly with Brooklyn is I didn't handle her emotions very well. So when she would cry, when she'd get upset, I'd be like, don't cry, you don't need to cry, stop crying. And now I see her as an adult, and she suppresses her emotions. And I'm like, man, I did that because that, what, I don't like when she cries. I don't like when my daughters cry. And so I would just kind of, no, don't do that, don't do that. And so that's not good. But heavy dad influence on her life, for sure. A lot of one-on-one with her. So, and that was even a simpler day. Even then, you know, being 21, even then it was a simpler day than it is now.
Right.
You know.
Well, I think what sometimes parents fail to realize is when you have a child, that's 24/7. I mean, you're never off duty. And, you know, you're modeling Christianity before, as a Christian mom and dad, you're modeling this before them, and you're not perfect. You know, we do blow it. And typically you're going to blow it more at home. You know, if you talk about, I was talking at my table with the guys, and I said, you know, one of the big challenges for dads is to not blow your stack at home when your kids don't do right, because we have a tendency to do that. And maybe, I mean, mom can do that too, but I think when dad does it, it's unnerving to the kids. If dad gets
more
angry,
more intimidating.
Yeah, dad starts yelling, and there are, you know, let's face it, especially with little kids, they can drive you insane.
Well, I think it's because you're at work, you know, you're at work, you're handling stress, you're dealing with difficult things, and you're giving your job your very best, and then you get home and you have nothing left.
Right.
And so you're on empty, and now your most important responsibility is right in front of you.
Right.
And so that's the danger. And so then you can feel when you're about to blow, but it's not them. It's other situations,
right.
And now it's piled up, and you feel at home. You can just let it all out, and so they get the worst of it. You know, they don't get the best of you; they get the worst.
Right. And one of the things you talked about, correcting them without condemning them, mm-hmm. I thought that was a really good point. And you know, I thought about as you were talking. I thought about, you know, when your kids are rebellious, that's when they need to be disciplined. When they just make a mistake or spill the milk or something like that, that's just a mistake. They didn't necessarily do that on purpose. They don't need to be swatted for that.
Right.
But if they're going to be openly rebellious or lie to you or something like that, then you need to bring the wood out, so
yeah,
to
that's
speak.
I mean, that's true. I mean, humanly, one of our daughters is very clumsy, and so it's like, I spilled the milk again. You know, you spilled it again. My goodness. Like, I can't believe you're not more careful, you know? And so it does, you have to fight your patience. It does get annoying. But yeah, rebellion is what we're trying to discipline. We're trying to discipline out of them. And you were talking about the temperaments, mm-hmm. Tim LaHaye's four temperaments, and choleric is the one that's that natural leader.
Right.
And so that's what Dobson called the strong-willed child.
Right.
And that's the one where parents really struggle. Being consistent, being firm, disciplining out of love, not out of anger,
yeah.
And not breaking their spirit. You know, like a stallion, they have a lot of potential. And so you don't want to break their spirit, but you want to channel that and channel them in the right direction, because right. they're going to do great things because they're a natural leader.
Well, and I think starting discipline early, to where your kid knows right off the bat, hey, these are inbounds things in the home, these are out of bounds things in the home. And if you go out of bounds, there are going to be consequences for that. You know, parents of young kids, if you don't establish that early, then it's kind of the horse's left the barn, and your kid's in, you know, he's getting ready to be in middle school, and you haven't really disciplined him much. You're gonna be in for it.
Yeah. So I mean, you're talking about consistency. You know, mm-hmm. being consistent from the youngest age all the way up. To me, a huge factor is the climate of your home. Mm-hmm. You know, the culture of your home. If it's a calm, loving, nurturing culture. So my wife does an excellent job of our home as a safe place. It's calm.
Peaceful.
Yeah, it's not like always on edge and, you know, who's mm-hmm. going to be in trouble next? Who's going to do the wrong thing next? And
right.
And so I think that is huge. And because I see some homes and it's just chaos and it's yeah. just constant yelling. And like when you're yelling all the time, mm-hmm. the kids have tuned you out.
Right.
Because that one weapon it's not working.
No.
And so a calm home environment, a grace-filled environment. Tim Kimmel wrote a book called, he calls grace-filled parenting, mm-hmm. grace-filled marriage, grace-filled parenting. A grace environment is huge. Mm-hmm. Culture is everything in the home.
Chris, I still remember hearing a program James Dobson did, and he was talking about getting a, you know, if a family had a 10-year-old child that was extremely difficult to parent, uh-huh. very rebellious and all. And they said, you know, Dr. Dobson, what would you do with him if you had him in your home? Uh-huh. And I never forget, he said, well, I would sit him down and I'd set up the ground rules. And he basically said, I would tell him, this is inbounds
yeah.
behavior, this is out of bounds behavior. And if you are out of bounds, I'm going to bust you.
Yeah.
There are consequences.
Yeah.
And you're not screaming at him, you're telling him up front.
Yeah.
And so if you choose to do X, X has
this consequence.
As a consequence to
yeah.
it. And so you can operate. So it's almost like God with Adam and Eve in the garden.
Yeah.
From every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but here's the out of bounds tree. And
yeah.
if you eat of that tree, there are going to be consequences.
Consequences are good because consequences motivate change. And so that would be a boundary.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to follow through on those consequences.
Right.
So Dobson sitting him down and talking to him is really good, but then the hard part is following through.
Right.
And so don't make the consequence so challenging for yourself that there's no way
right.
you're going to do it, or false threats
right.
that you would never follow through on, you
right.
know? don't even say it.
Yeah, I had a tendency with that, and Debbie would say, you know, don't say that. But now I will say this, with raising my three girls, and they're all in their 30s now, but Debbie's a disciplinarian, and so that really helps. If your wife is very loose in terms of, you know, she's phlegmatic, so everything's just kind of like, well, that's harder.
Yes.
Because kids thrive in structure.
Yeah.
They like to know where the out of bounds markers are, and they like to have consistency in life. Mm-hmm. If everything is haphazard, every day is different, that's hard for them.
Yeah, that's not a good environment for them to be nurtured, to grow, and to be really discipled.
Mm-hmm. You know, so to have set meal times, set bedtime, set homework times, all those things. They like routine.
Yes. They like routine, and as far as ministry, like either if you're in, you know, pastoral ministry or your ministry in your church and serving, make your kids a part of that. Make them a part of that whole journey. Mm-hmm. Our kids are church rats, you know, whatever you want to say. They're always at church. They love being at church. They love being around the church as their family. And so it's not like, oh, we're going to church now. We're going, you know, it's not fun. We're going somewhere else now. We go to church and we're all a part of it, you know, and they then enjoy it. So bring them along with you, you know, in these important activities.
Yeah, it does make a difference. Well, we're talking about what is a parent to do, the challenge of raising godly children, and every Christian parent wants to raise a godly child. We don't want to swing and miss when it comes to parenting, when it comes to child raising. But as we said in the first segment, there are no guarantees. You know, your kids, you can do everything right, so to speak, and your kid still has to decide for himself or herself. You can't choose for them, but you can give them an environment where they have every opportunity to see Jesus real in your life, in your marriage, in your home. Nobody does it perfectly.
Yeah.
There are no perfect marriages. There are no perfect parents. There are no perfect people.
Yeah. I mean, they have their own race to run. You were talking about my own childhood and comparing that to my kids' childhood. I do that with my faith and the way that I lived out my Christian faith, and how when I was a child, I wasn't strong in my faith like I wish I was. And so I think about that with them. So I give them a lot of grace because they have their own race to run. And so when that really catches fire for them, and then when they really surrender their lives to the Lord, it's different for every person. And so letting them have their own walk with God, and their walk with God may look different than your walk with God.
Yeah. So. Chris, let me ask you this, because this is a struggle for parents. What about technology? What about phones? Mm-hmm. So your kids are 10 and 8, the little ones at home.
Yeah.
What is your recommendation on that?
Yeah, that's a very hot topic, very important topic. Our kids now have phones, but they don't, they can't call out, they can do hardly anything on it. Mm-hmm. But, and they only are able to have it at specific times on the weekend, not during the week. Mm-hmm. And so we have them, but they're really, really strong parameters that we have on them, and we're watching everything that they're on. So you're gonna have to, that's a conviction issue. You're gonna have to find what is best for your family and find that line to walk. But just free reign with a phone and giving them a phone for throughout the week, that does damage cognitively. That does damage to them, and emotionally, spiritually does damage. And so you're going to have to find that line. That's a conviction issue.
Well, they're just temptations galore when you get a phone, when you get on the internet and things like that. It can be wonderful or it can be terrible, because it's laced with landmines, and you just have to be careful.
My parents used to give me 35 cents or a quarter and find a payphone.
Yeah. Good luck finding a payphone these days.
Yeah.
Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about what is a parent to do. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, we'd love to hear from you. So give us a call and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, along with my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about what is a parent to do, the challenge of raising godly kids. That's the desire for every mom and dad, Christian mom and dad. I want to raise good and godly kids. I want my kids to be happy, but even more important than their happiness is their holiness. I want them to learn to love the Lord and trust the Lord and walk with the Lord. You know, and life will throw you curveballs. That's just part of life. Man who is born of woman, as Job said, is short-lived and full of trouble. And we are going to face trouble. And Chris, teaching our kids how to handle difficulty.
Yes.
You had talked this morning when you were talking to the guys about helicopter parents.
Yeah.
A helicopter parent is always fighting a kid's battles. They're always just there. Why is that not a good parenting strategy?
Yeah, it's like we love our kids so much that we don't want to see them struggle. We don't want to see them go through hard things. So the helicopter parent swoops in and takes care of the problem, you know, calls the principal, calls the teacher.
Fights their battles.
Stands up to the bully for them, whatever it is, so that that child doesn't have to go through that difficult challenge. But that challenge is there for a reason, to grow them, to make them stronger. And so there is a line, because you're not just like feeding them to the wolves,
right?
But walking with them through that, but letting them fight up to stand up to those challenges.
Okay, I was thinking, because we saw the movie Reagan together, and you remember in that scene where his mother, he's getting bullied, and his mother says, "You're going to have to stand up to the bullies, Ronald," and she pushes him out the door.
Yeah. And that was a principle that stuck with his life forever. He saw communism as that bully that he was going to stand up to, because, you know, everybody faces a bully, and at some point you've got to step up to that bully. And you may even take a shot because of it,
right?
But you will learn, you will grow because of it. That was a great scene. Do you think it happened exactly like that in real life?
I think that that's probably true. You know, I was watching a documentary on Reagan's life, and then I thought about the movie. It's like they didn't embellish much.
Uh-huh.
That was pretty much his life. He had a great love story with Nancy, and they had a wonderful marriage. And, you know, we talk about parenting. His kids didn't all turn out great.
Yeah, there's a blended situation, and I know one is like, one was real conservative and one was very liberal.
Yeah,
Ron Reagan.
Ron is an atheist and repudiated his dad's policies.
I think it's funny how they argue about what their dad, who their dad would have liked more. You know, like, and I'm like, really? He was really strong conservative, but that the liberal one thinks that his dad would have liked the liberal ideas.
It's that's like, crazy.
Yeah.
Well, we're taking your calls at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, if you're going through some struggles in your own parenting, hey, we'd love to hear you out and help any way we can. And listen, we know that it's hard. You know, the idea that one size fits all for parenting, it's just not true. Chris, as we said early on, you know, accept your kids' uniquenesses. They're all different. And those four personality temperaments that that Tim LaHaye popularized, you know, choleric, the strong-willed, natural-born leader. You have the phlegmatic, the laid-back person. Then you have the melancholy that's very exact. You know, your daughter Anna's a melancholy. Uh-huh. She's a rule follower deluxe.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then you have the
sanguine.
The sanguine, the life of the party, the everybody loves this person, never meets a stranger. You know, we look at the strengths of those temperaments. Well, oh, I like this, I like that, I like the other. Every one of those temperaments has weaknesses.
Yes. I say that every strength has a tail. You know, so it's good, that's a strength, that's wonderful, but there's a downside to it as well.
Yeah. So you're talking about the person that's the life of the party, never meets a stranger. They're not good with details.
Uh-huh.
They're typically not good handling money.
Uh-huh.
They're not good keeping their house clean. I mean, everything seems to be a mess.
Yeah, you're describing Emma. That's Emma. But it's also negative things, hard things. That's
they shy away from.
Yeah,
that.
they don't like trials, negative things, because everything's supposed to be fun, positive.
Right. Okay. So a question about your dad.
Yeah.
Was he a sanguine?
I would say my dad was a melancholy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you said he had a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
So he didn't really, did he kind of abdicate when things got difficult or?
I think he grinded, but he just, I mean, this is sad. My dad's passed away, but he's kind of like a Charlie Brown. Like things just never went right.
Somebody's pulling a football.
Yeah.
Away.
It just seemed like there was always like some kind of, but the main reason is my dad never really walked in the purpose that God had for him. I think he was called into the ministry and he didn't actually do that. And so that was the challenge for his life.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so important for our kids to find their purpose, to find out what God wants them to do. I was 18 when I felt called into the ministry. You were...
I was 32.
32, and you got saved at around 18.
Right, 17.
So that is just so important. Salvation, number one, for our kids. But then second, that they find out, like we call it, you're part of the body of Christ. Like, what is your part in the body? You know, what are your spiritual giftings? Mm-hmm. And so that they find their part. And my dad never really... you know, walked in that. And mm-hmm. so we want our kids to discover what their purpose is.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And you know, that can play out because like being called into the ministry, that can be a lot of different things. You know, it used to be way back when I'm going to either preach or I'm going to do music.
Uh-huh.
There weren't a lot of other things to do, you know, as far as quote unquote being in the ministry.
Mm, good point. Yeah.
And,
That's a good point, especially with a larger church. Like our church, I consider larger, and you have different personalities, so our kids can look up to different personalities that more match their personality, their temperament,
yeah.
and kind of find their place in yeah. the church.
Well, and Chris, as you and I both know, there are a lot of guys that are called into the ministry that aren't good preachers.
Yeah.
They're not called to pastor,
uh-huh.
You know, be the head guy that's preaching a lot or teaching a lot. That's not their thing. But they're great at pastoral care, perhaps, or mm-hmm. Maybe strategies, or mm-hmm. you know, coaching up people in the, you know, in the on the staff, things like that. And so, and the other thing, you know, I've always had a problem with this. Just because a guy is good at singing or playing and he gets saved, that doesn't mean that he's called to lead in worship.
Gotcha.
You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Elton John, I used to say this, I mean, as far as singing and playing, Elton John back in the day was top of the game.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, well, if he got saved, some churches would want him to be their worship leader the next week.
Yeah.
It's like he has no... He has no basis to do that.
Right.
And
right.
just because you're a good speaker necessarily doesn't mean you're ready to preach just because, hey, I've been saved a week, let me at him.
Right. Okay. So like more like the gifting, the spiritual giftings, not right. just the talents and abilities, but the spiritual gifting.
Right. Yeah. And then the backing for that.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you have to grow.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we want to be witnessing immediately. That's one thing. But as far as standing up to teach or something like that, you're not ready for that.
Well, yeah, I always think of Saul on the road to Damascus and the conversion experience, and then he goes away. Is it 3 years? He's away and he's being prepared. Or Moses, you know,
right.
Moses being in the wilderness. That time of preparation is so crucial.
Right. Yeah, you think about Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle. He knew a lot before he got saved as far as Old Testament
yes,
things.
Yes, yes.
But he did need to have that one-on-one time with the Lord for those 3 years. And
for the heart to change and be ready to be used to start the Christian church.
You know, I think about, and Chris, you've preached a lot, and you think about those early sermons, those uh-huh. early years.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully most preachers have grown. And
oh, man, my first sermon, my mouth was so dry because I was so nervous, and it was horrific. I mean, I think the sermon was terrible, but I had these older gentlemen in the church that had been retired pastors, and they came up to me afterwards, and, young man, that was a great sermon. You got a great future, and they spoke so much life and encouragement into me. I knew it was terrible. I knew it was horrible, but they came up, and they encouraged me, and they encouraged that gifting, and those were men in the church,
yeah.
you know, that church body, that church family.
Well, it's kind of funny. So things look easy as an observer. Uh-huh. You know, everybody's an armchair quarterback. You know, we watch, just like with sports, we watch people say, oh, you should have done this, you should have done that. And the guys that are saying that couldn't do any of those things.
Yeah.
You know, we couldn't be on the field.
Stephen A. Smith, who's got an opinion on everything. And he was like, he played in college and he averaged like 2 points a game or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like,
he's the expert.
Yeah. And the same thing, you know, when you sit in a congregation and you listen to a preacher, and most of us can, we have enough wherewithal to say, that guy is good at communicating. That guy's not good at communicating. If I were that guy, I would have said this or I would have said it that way. But when you stand up there yourself, then all of a sudden it's a different deal. Uh-huh. You can forget things because you're nervous. Things don't come out right because you're nervous. You can say something you didn't mean to say.
Uh-huh.
And so I remember, Chris, the first time I did a wedding. Well, I'd been to a lot of weddings. I never gave it much thought until I was the one officiating the wedding. And then I was like, oh, what do I
and
say?
And weddings are intense.
Yes.
I mean, because the brides, they're so specific in what they want. And they can be very, very intense. More intense than a funeral service.
Right. A funeral is more of a sermon and you get to kind of, a wedding is a ceremonial thing with a lot of structure to it. And that can be harder. Well, you know, the biggest thing I think on parenting, what is a parent to do? The challenge of raising godly children, is modeling. Mm-hmm. You know, the poem I like says, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather you go with me than merely point the way. The eye is a more ready pupil than ever was the ear. Good advice is often confusing, but example is always clear. And so if we as dads, as moms, if we're not living it out, if we're not being honest, if we're not being diligent, if we're not making things right when we mess up, if we're not, you know, speaking kindly to our children, to our spouse, you know, your kids are going to pick that up, and they're going to model what they see.
Yeah, so they're watching. They're constantly watching, and so that's a huge responsibility. That's a huge pressure that we have as parents, but they are watching us, and hypocrisy and integrity are so important. We don't want to be hypocritical. We don't want to be different at church than we are at home. You know, we kind of tell it humorously, but the coming to church and in the parking lot is where there's a lot of fights, you know, in the car with families, and then you shut the door and you walk out.
Everybody's got a smile.
And then everyone's got a smile. How you doing, brother? How's everything going?
It's going great. Praise
the Lord. Kids are watching. They're watching that whole thing so that you're not just a Sunday Christian, but you're living it out.
Right.
And then integrity, you know, you're the same person everywhere you go. You know, the other day I was getting sod at Home Depot. You buy the sod, then you go out and you pick it up. And I bought like 10 pieces and I was like, man, there's no one watching. I think I might need more than 10 so easily. No one would know. I could take more than 10. No big deal. That's not integrity, you know?
Right.
And so so you have to know that under the Lord, obviously, number one, but that your kids are watching you. Mm-hmm. So to live a life of integrity.
Yeah, makes a big difference. Just in the couple minutes we have left, Chris, what would you say to parents that are seeing maybe their middle school aged son or daughter starting to go in a bad direction, maybe hanging out with a bad crowd? If you start seeing that, what should you do?
That's a great one, because when they get into that age range, that middle school, you know, teenage years, preteen, teenage years, 12 to 18, more change happens, more development happens in that frame than any other age frame. So you lean more in, not pull away. Mm-hmm. And they start getting moody and they start pushing back at you. Don't pull away. Lean in.
Mm-hmm.
And don't give up, you know, amp it up a little bit and be more present in their life in that stage.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that you're in this for the long run. This is not a sprint. This is a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're creating adults, you know, you're discipling them to become adults. And so walk with them through those challenging, those are real challenging ages, you know.
Very
and so walk with them through that, and don't mirror their negativity. You know, we tend to mm-hmm. just like mirror back what they do. Don't do that. Continue to be consistent and even lean in more than before.
Yeah, and remember too, God didn't call you to be their friend. He called you to be their mom,
That's
to
right.
be their dad. And sometimes you have to be You have to be the heavy, and you have to start saying, hey, we're going to tighten up these boundaries because you're abusing the trust that we've given you. And, you know, your kids, they'll kick at that, but deep down they like it.
And you're saying about starting to be with friends that are maybe questionable, get to know their parents, get to know who those kids are, because that is crucial, the environment that they're in, the people that they surround themselves with.
Right. So the proverb says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. And so parents, you need to know who your kids are hanging out with, and you need to get involved in that in the way that would be wise and prudent. Well, you've been listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and I want to thank my guest, Dr. Chris Schroeder. And this might be a podcast that would be helpful to a friend, to a neighbor, to a son or daughter that are grown and raising up kids. What is a parent to do? The challenge of raising godly children. Well, thank you for listening today. We always end the program with those two words, shine and share. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. I'll be with you again tomorrow as we talk to Skip Heitzig. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.